Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is Wednesday, May 25th. We certainly come in here heartbroken. There's no question about it. It's going to be, I'll be honest with you, hard to be passionate about sports today because of the, obviously, the tragedy that unfolded after we got off the air yesterday, John. 19 school children killed. You've seen the news. Two teachers killed yesterday in a shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Shooter also shot his grandmother. Shooter was 18 years old. Shooter is now dead. We'll talk about sort of how it's touched us, right? That's usually what John and I do. You know, we're not going to try to come in here and convince you of anything, getting into, going into our corners and, hey, do this, do that. What we'll talk about is how we feel, like we usually do. You know, I've certainly got a kid, second grader, who you think about being in those shoes when you drop off your kid at school, right? We've all done it, all been there, and not seeing them again, right? Being in those shoes and what that must feel like for those parents, those families down in Texas, and who it touches your soul. And I think if it doesn't, John, right, if we just go to sports and skip it or try not to think about it, turn away, get off social media, right? That further serves to desensitize us, right? Then we're not feeling the pain and feeling how much we really need change, right, to change it. And so we'll get all into that, surely, what it means. So there was a basketball game played in Texas last night.
Yep.
In that same state. Obviously, Dallas Mavericks win. We'll talk about that. They've extended the series. I don't think it'll go much further. Ja Morant, congratulations to him as well, named yesterday second team All-NBA. There were sports. Sports did go on, and sports will go on. But today we'll keep it personal like we usually do.
And it's going to be a hard show, right? Like, days like this are always hard.
Yeah, there's no blueprint for days like this.
Because, you know, you feel an obligation to, you know, do a show about sports, but you also feel an obligation to, you know, this country that we live in, where we, you know, everybody on this show and so many people listening have kids that are in school or one day going to go to school. And every corner of American life, it feels like, has been threatened, you know, by gun violence in this country. And whether it's a nightclub, whether it's a school, whether it's a mall, whether it's a movie theater, whether it's a grocery store. We saw that in Memphis, obviously, 2 weekends ago in Buffalo. There is nowhere, a concert, there is nowhere you can go anymore in America and not think about what will happen if somebody comes into this place with an assault weapon. That we have had that freedom stripped. And it is incredibly unsettling that we have decided to live with that. We have made that conscious decision that we are going to live with that as a society in America, and I and it It doesn't have to be like that.
Right.
Doesn't have to be this way.
It's changeable.
It's not like this everywhere. It's not like this anywhere besides America. Only in America do we have to worry about those things.
Or at least you would hope to decrease the frequency now, right? How much this is happening. You can't stamp it all out. We get that.
Yep.
But you could at least decrease the numbers. I saw the president this morning said since that assault rifle ban has expired,
yep,
these mass shootings have tripled.
Yep.
And so the numbers just show you.
Absolutely.
You know, you let that go, that regulation go. Well, these go up. So, you, like we said, it do something.
Yes.
But to your point, sitting just watching it happen.
Right.
How many of these do we have to go through? You know, Sandy, 10 years ago, what's changed?
How many children have to die before we decide we have had enough? I mean, what are we up to now? 26 died at Sandy Hook. 26 people died at Sandy Hook at an elementary school. And 19 children and 2 teachers died at Robb Elementary yesterday. And I hope that's, you know, there are still multiple children in critical condition, you know. So is 47 the number that we're willing to continue to live with? Is it 65? Is it 115 before? Because this will not stop. This will not stop until we make changes. This will only continue. And I hope that the policymakers and the politicians who today say, you know, this is not an attack on your right to bear arms. Nobody's coming to take your personal home defense weapons, right?
Right.
Nobody's busting in your home and taking your handguns. But there is a common theme, whether it's Vegas, whether it's Buffalo, whether it was Robb Elementary, there's a common theme and a common thread with almost every mass shooting that we hear about. And it is this particular style of weapon with high-capacity magazines, with semi-automatic capabilities
mm-hmm.
that make this very easy and very efficient. And by the way, how does it not keep you up at night? How does it not absolutely disturb you to the core that these were the most recent mass shootings in history in America were committed by 18-year-olds who have no training whatsoever? How does that not keep you up at night as a politician, as a policymaker? Imagine if it was ever somebody that actually had training. Imagine if it was ever somebody that actually had used that weapon in any kind of capacity before. These are 18-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so this is not about that. This is about what can we do as a country, as a nation, as a society to make sure that at bare minimum our schools are safe or safer. You know, we were talking about this before we came on. I think maybe there was a time I can remember where my school was on lockdown, you know, but I don't really recall what that meant. And certainly I never did anything like an active shooter drill. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a child of the, you know, the Columbine era. Right. That happened in 99. And, you know, I was in middle school in 2002, 2003, you know, so that was probably when all that stuff was at a fever pitch. But you wouldn't have had any idea what an active shooter was, a drill was in middle school and high school.
Nope. Was talking about with my son going to martial arts last night is that the difference. One of the big differences now between, as I was telling him, explaining to him in the car, between you and me is that you're getting sort of trained for these events, right, at school, in elementary school, and we consider that, I suppose, a good thing, right? I was telling him, we never went, you know, we do tornado drills. You know, get under the desk, go out in the hall, put your head between your knees. We're doing drills about the weather, fire drills, those kinds of things. We've incorporated this now into school safety. My kid doing shooter drills at his school. Okay, you know, as a parent, I appreciate the readiness, mm-hmm. but how in the world is that our defense? How in the world is that our answer to that? That's adapting, right, to something that we know is out of control at this point and saying, well, here's what we're going to do to try to save as many as we can, rather than going out and doing the things that we know can at least decrease the numbers and the chances of this, John. It's again, the mental illness or whatever you want to, we've had that for years in our country for years. It's the access
right. to this kind of weapon.
America is not the only country that has citizens who have mental illnesses.
And John, you got plenty of 18-year-olds who are out here and detached and feeling like they're all, you know what I'm saying? That's not going to change. There will be more of them. Will we continue to make it this easy for them to go out and get these kinds of weapons? Will we?
We can't.
Or are we just going to keep training our kids, hey, here's what you do in these shooter situations. That's our best defense. Stop. This is the way I thought about it. It's like the Mississippi River. It's the way I thought about it. What's flowing right now and us watching it flow and it feeling like you can't stop. It's a flowing river of guns and money. I'll be honest with you. It's the money that flows from this thing. In the end, it's all about greed, right? The gun companies and the Senate that won't. In the end, it's all about the dollar and how much money is coming, right, from the production of and the buying of these guns. It's this river. And you know what we're throwing into? Our babies. We're throwing them in. And yet the river still flows. So back to your point, John, how many of them are we going to throw in there? Right? How many elderly black folks? You know, Asian folks, it's not just kids. We're seeing mass shootings everywhere. How many bodies we going to throw in that river, right, before we're ready to dam it up ourselves? John, we can start a dam with our lawmaking abilities, right? But we're just steady. We're watching the river flow, man, and getting this the more and more desensitized to it and say, that's just how the river flows, and there's going to be kids in that river, and there's going to be black folks in that river and Asians in that river, and how willing are you to sit there and watch it flow?
But the issue with that thinking, and I know you know this, is that the river didn't always flow like that.
Well, the current wasn't always this strong.
And we have enabled it.
We've let it get wider and wider and wider.
We've enabled it, and I would ask anybody today that is, you know, if you are looking to escape from this conversation, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you don't want to hear this conversation. Why is this conversation a problem? This conversation needs to be had more. Because if we talked about it more, and if we face this issue head on more, rather than trying to hide from it or pretend that, oh, let's break down the Dallas Mavericks extending this series that is the bigger symptom.
Feel the pain so the urgency level goes up.
And we are not, and I saw this tweet from Charles Fishman, and I think it needs to be passed along. We are not as divided on this issue as people would like to believe. 89% of Americans agree that we need to increase mental health funding. 83% of Americans, according to PBS NewsHour, believe that we should require background checks for private and gun show sales. 72% of Americans believe that we should create a national red flag law. 72% of Americans believe that we should require a license before gun purchase. 61% of Americans believe that we should ban the sale of high-capacity magazines. That does not sound like a very divided front to me.
Mm-hmm.
These are all very basic checks and balances that we can institute that, no, it is not going to fix everything. But I would ask, when the lives of children are at stake, do not let perfection get in the way of progress. Let me say that again. Do not let perfection get in the way of progress. There is no one-size-fits-all solution. We're not going to come up with that here today on the show. That's not what we're trying to do. But are you trying to sit here and tell me that there is... And by the way, arming teachers ain't it. That is the most ridiculous gaslighting thing I have ever heard. Oh, rather than address the issue of how easily accessible it is to obtain these weapons.
Correct, which is the real issue.
Let's arm teachers. Let's arm Sam. So Sam's supposed to have a 380 honor.
Right, again, make them the defense. And then, our defense line
and
against
then,
this,
and then the teacher,
kids and the teachers.
Then the teacher's supposed to be the good guy with the gun, right? So not only are they supposed to be in charge of educating and getting the curriculum ready for tomorrow, they're also supposed to put their life on the line.
Yeah, you had trained law enforcement at the school before he went in yesterday. And, John, in this case, they failed to keep him out of the school. And so we're going to ask the teachers to get that done? That our teachers who were, we don't pay enough to teach our kids. Here's your other responsibility. Here's a gun, protect our kids. In this case, trained law enforcement couldn't get it done, John, in terms of, you know, he ends up going into the school, you know, after being involved in shots fired with law enforcement. So they're trained, okay? So the idea that you put the guns in the teacher's hands and ask them to be the answer is as ridiculous as it gets.
Yeah.
In terms of that being the answer.
But
way to approach this.
But we need to come together and we need to ask ourselves as a country how many more. I mean, because that is the only question. That is the only question. How many more are we willing to accept? And I saw Cory Booker, a senator, and again, this is not about politics or party for me. This is about common sense. But how many children are we willing to sacrifice on the altar of inaction before we do something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Watching the river go by.
And it's too many. It's too many. And the thoughts and the prayers tweets, come on, man.
Well, from politicians especially, right?
Whose campaigns are funded by the NRA. Like you could have just saved that.
Mm.
Because you don't feel bad.
Mm.
You don't feel a thing. And I tweeted this to you yesterday, but it's true. Or I texted it to you yesterday. Until these politicians who don't want to do anything, who are willing to just send thoughts and prayers tweets as if that's supposed to do something or make me feel better about the loss of my child and the way that my family has been altered forever, until it's their children getting shot in the head and hunted and mowed down in a classroom, barricaded in, until that experience happens to them, they can't feel it. They won't feel it. And they won't try to change anything. But it shouldn't have to be that way. And it doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't. And so we are gonna get to other things here today, because that's just the way of the show. But I mean, if you're, you know, one day Riley is going to go to school with Sam.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to leave my house together.
Absolutely.
She's going to drive to school with Sam. She's going to be in pre-K and kindergarten and first grade. And you're just going to have that sinking feeling, that sinking thought. Is that the last time I'm going to see my family because they're going to school? Like, how is that? How have we decided it's all right to live like that, man?
Mm-hmm.
How have we? No other country has done that. Why ours? This is the greatest country in the world. It's supposed to be. So I hope that this is it's a tragedy that nothing can undo it. Nothing can make it make sense. But if it gets this conversation, if it gets us back on the floor and it gets something done, I don't know. That's the only hope that you can have, right?
We got to wake up. Got to wake our politicians up. I mean, we know why this is happening. We know what the root of it is. Again, I would go back to the almighty dollar. Steve Kerr was trying to get us to wake up. Do you have that audio before their game last night? He didn't want to come in and talk about basketball either yesterday. And I, for one, I appreciated his words and his passion, the passion with which he delivered these comments yesterday.
In Southern California, and now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8. Which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So, I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister or brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington, who refuse to even put it to a vote despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
We're going to come back. Mark Giannotto is going to join us on the other side. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Giannotto is the sports columnist over at The Commercial Appeal, host of Giannotto and Jeffrey. Catch him every afternoon from 2 to 4. Joins us every Wednesday. He joins us. Now, on a day like this, Mark, have you sort of thought about what you're going to say, what you want to say, what's the right note to strike? Just where you are on a day like this.
I think any parent had the same thought I did when something like that happened. Was, you know, like, holy crap, what if that was my kid? That's what, you know, really makes it sink in, what happened yesterday, what's happened before. I mean, I remember when last fall, when the Collierville shooting happened at the Collierville Kroger, you know, my kid goes to school, like, not 5 minutes from there, or goes to daycare, not 5 minutes from there. And, like, you know, to when those thoughts, you know, it often feels like a faraway thing when these shootings happen, when tragedies happen. But then, you know, you start to think about, you know, these are just normal people like you and me, and this, like, incredible tragedy can happen just like that in the world we live in. And it's scary at times, but I don't really know what day in terms of, like, you know, obviously I don't want things like this to happen anymore, and whatever we can do to prevent these sorts of tragedies from happening, I'm for it. Whatever legislation, whatever change in mindset, whatever services, you know, mental health services, whatever it takes. Like, this is we talked about the measures we put in to try and deal with the pandemic. In a lot of ways, this is like a pandemic in its own right, what's going on with this gun violence. And so that's sort of how I look at it. I don't know, you know, in terms of, like, what do you say? It's awful. It's just awful when you really start to think about it. And, you know, my tendency is to kind of distract myself, but maybe that's probably, you know, a little bit part of the problem. We all kind of, you know, these things happen so often now. We kind of, you know, in the moment, you know, we think about, you know, we're devastated by them, but we kind of push them to the side. And maybe, you know, part of the solution is, like, you know, one of these days we got to stop pushing it to the side.
Right. Got to feel something, right, to your point. Can't just push it to the side. We got, whether it's outrage, whether it's pain, we need to feel something so the urgency level goes up for us all when it comes to change. Sports were played last night. Sports go on, and we certainly are doing a sports show. So I'll ask you this. There's no great way to make this pivot, but Ja Morant, second team All-NBA, was that about right, Mark? Is that about where you thought he would come out?
Yeah, that's what I expected. Especially once he missed those last 9-10 games of the regular season, for the most part.
Yeah.
Once he missed those games and, you know, the games played went below 60 for the season, you know, I thought it was going to be hard for him to be first team given that. And I think where he is second team is appropriate. He was, you know, like you could make the argument, you know, I think there's a very good argument. The two guards that got in above him, Luka was a little more durable. And, you know, really felt like he was more, you know, ultimately, this is partially because there were so many good, there were better players around Ja than around Luka, I think. And so I think he gets rewarded for that. And then Devin Booker, who gets in ahead of him as a guard, you know, was on the best, he was the best player, arguably, I guess, on the best team in the NBA during the regular season. So I just don't know if, like, if Ja had played 70 games, I think it's a different discussion. Mm-hmm. I think potentially he can get in over Booker. But, you know, ultimately he didn't. And so second team feels just right. And, you know, very clearly, I mean, I think this is the first of regular appearances on these three All-NBA teams because, you know, I don't think there's six or, you know, right now it doesn't feel like there's six or seven guards better than Ja Morant in the NBA.
No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. It is not 3-0 anymore. It's 3-1. Do the Dallas Mavericks behind Luka Magic have what it takes to become the first?
No. I think, look at the Warriors pattern this series. This is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like, in a way, like, you know, they're looking out for the organization, get an extra playoff game, you know, by losing these closeout games on the road, get the franchise one more home game in those ticket sales and concession sales. I mean, this is what they did in the first two rounds. They lost the closeout game, or the first closeout game, and then they went home and finished off the series. And that's what I expect them to do tomorrow against Dallas. You know, ultimately, it's much like, you know, Game 5 of the Grizzlies-Warriors series. You know, that was just one of those classic, like, Dallas. Once Dallas made its one push, you know, Golden State was just like, you know what, we'll just do this at home. Like, they didn't have the will in that game. And they earned that right by going up 3-0. They earned a chance to kind of just essentially throw a game away. Now, if Dallas can win Game 5, then I think the conversation changes. But I don't expect them to win Game 5.
Yeah, let's assume they don't, and Golden State moves on. What, if anything, Mark, what do you draw from the fact that Memphis was a tougher matchup with them, and that's with Steven Adams out, what, first two games, Ja Morant out down the stretch in that series? What do you draw from that, the fact that the Grizzlies were a tougher matchup than Dallas? Does it mean you're further ahead in terms of personnel and roster? That said, even with Dallas having your number in the regular season, does it mean anything to you?
Not really. I think Dallas and Memphis have shown they are going to be contenders in the Western Conference for the foreseeable future. As long as Dallas has Luka and with the nucleus Memphis has put together, I think that's what it just tells you. And, you know, ultimately, I think Golden State's got to win the title this year because I think this is their last. I think this is their last best chance. You know, I think that team is going to get. You know, I don't think that team has many more years ahead of it. Playing at this level, and the league is, you know, was pretty wide open this year. I tend to agree with Dylan Brooks, even though he probably shouldn't have said it when he said it. But like, the Grizzlies are coming, the Mavericks are coming. Much like we talk about, you know, next year it might be harder for the Grizzlies. Like, they finished second in the Western Conference, but they're not going to get picked to finish second in the Western Conference next season. Much like it's getting going to get harder for them, I think it's the same thing for the Warriors. Like, this whole deal is going to get harder for them next year. And so, but that's how I look at it, Jason, just in terms of, like, Memphis, it feels like Memphis and Dallas are right there.
Mm-hmm.
And this offseason, it'll be interesting to see what Dallas does in terms of,
Brunson.
You know, what are they, Jalen Brunson, do they try to make a trade for someone else, bring in a new big man? You know, they're kind of, you know, like, there's some interest. You know, I was reading something online. Like, I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be a wild card in this offseason because I don't know if someone is going to pay him, is going to offer him max money, I think. And I don't think Phoenix is necessarily going to be gung-ho about matching it, just because they have to give Devin Booker a new extension soon. Chris Paul has still got 2 more years. Like, I think 2 years left. I think, and they paid Mikhail Bridges. I think that guy's a wild card in this offseason. Like, what if Dallas gets him? What if one of these Western Conference teams gets him? That changes things a little bit. Same with some of these trades. So I think a lot of it is depending on what happens this offseason. But doesn't it feel like Dallas with Luka and Memphis, even though they didn't play each other this year in the playoffs, they feel like they're the up-and-comers in the Western Conference. And as of today, you'd think at some point soon, we're going to see Dallas either back in the Western Conference Finals or Memphis in the Western Conference Finals. That's what we're moving
for. A little baseball matinee for you, Mr. Giannotto.
Yeah, sorry, that's a Dustin Starr. I'm at the Redbirds game, actually. They have a weird 11 a.m. start today, one of those, a lot of kids groups here. It's starting to rain a little bit, but it's actually before this, it was nice, nice temperature for a baseball game. But, out here for a little day baseball.
All right. Last thing before we let you go, we'll let you get to the game there. Penny Talk this week, month was out there, a lot of interesting things. Like, what's just your state of the Memphis basketball program right now? I know I asked you this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Kenneth Lofton staying in the draft. There hasn't been a lot of other public movement in terms of the roster. What's your state of the Memphis Tiger basketball program right now?
My sense is that in terms of big splashes, I think they're done. I think the hope is the assumption. I don't know if assumption's the right word, because I asked Penny. I was out there too, and I asked Penny, how are you recruiting right now? Are you recruiting as if you're expecting DeAndre and Lester back, because that's sort of what the feeling is, even though they haven't said that yet? Or are you recruiting as if there's an outside possibility they stay, they decide to go, one or both decide to go pro? And he said he was recruiting as if one or both might go pro, even though he's, hopeful they won't. But I just think when you bring back those two guys, plus Kendrick Davis, I think right now it's kind of, I think the program feels like it's, in terms of the state of it, it's like in a waiting pattern with the IARP, but at the same time, it feels like he's got a pretty good team if those two guys come back. And in terms of more additions, I think you'll look at more, he feels like he needs a big man and he needs some shooters. But I sort of see him, thinking of this in terms of role players more than making another big splash in the transfer portal. But we shall see how it ends up. But, he said that Nunn has a story up at commercialfield.com with some more comments from him where he basically told Jason that, last year he basically felt like he had 13 players on scholarship who all thought they should be starting. And that he doesn't want to do that again. He doesn't want to have a team where everyone, feels like they have an entitlement to a certain role. And it was telling, I asked him about Elijah McCadden, what was he from? Charleston Southern or something? Georgia Southern. The transfer from Georgia Southern, who's a grad transfer. Old guy. And Penny's point was he's going to be energy. It was basically spelled out. This guy's going to be coming off the bench with energy. He's not expecting him to be some star, And it sounded just a little different than the way he's talked about previous editions, where it felt he would talk about them and you could tell, he thought there was potential there for them to be one of the key players in terms of, usage and shot making and all that. And it felt like at times it felt like there were too many, he talked about that. He talked like that about too many guys on the roster. And it probably partly led to some of the chemistry issues that they ran into at the beginning of both these past two seasons. And it feels like you're seeing him rectify all that this off season with how he's approached it.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, man, enjoy the baseball game.
Thank you,
appreciate
Mark.
The time, man. Thanks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep. On that same topic there with the team, it's hard to find 13 good players that don't want to start, right? That don't think they can be a starter in college basketball. You can find 13 basketball players, but can you find 13 basketball players who would A, be good, and B, be willing to say, I don't care about starting? Hell no. You're going to get like DeMarnier Cunningham, bruh. I mean, you're going to get some Babbage if he's willing to just say, I won't start.
There's a natural, though, on the best teams, though, right, an acceptance of roles to where at some point after you have it figured out, whatever your line, preseason practice, whatever that
100%.
Is, where you fall in line.
But, yes.
Yeah, of course, all players, Division I players, want to be starters, right? Because all Division I players, they're on scholarship, they got the dream.
It almost
what
sounds
are we
like,
talking about here?
It almost sounds like Penny is trying to say that as a way to not fill the roster, though. Like, as a way to not use the scholarships.
I didn't look at it that way. And you've got too many that you've got too many open that you're sitting here going to have five open scholarships going in next year. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, you have to get players. Because, you know, rotations, transfers, whatever. Like, you got to find players.
But, I mean, again, when has Penny Hardaway not done that? Show me when he doesn't get them. And, again, we already like the nucleus of Kendrick Davis, Lester, and DeAndre. Come on. Dude, if he was recruiting.
Right.
Like he wasn't expecting those two or one of the two not to come back, the urgency level would have to go up.
100%.
You'd have to have more bodies in here right now.
100%.
Okay? So he's recruiting like he's expecting them to come back.
100%.
And I think that's as much of a sign as anything we've said, anything John's heard, anybody's heard.
Yeah.
That's the sign.
No.
That,
yeah.
And so with that nucleus alone, you feel good. Here's the issue. You need shooting. Because Elijah McCadden doesn't bring that.
Correct.
Okay? Kendrick Davis can shoot it. Lester Quinones can shoot it. DeAndre, you know, from a percentage, but not in bulk. He's not a shooter. So you need shooting. Says you didn't add Caleb Murphy, who I know that wasn't his forte, but was certainly a guy who possibly could do that for you. So you're going to need that, and you need that five.
Yeah, I mean.
So that's happening.
Yeah, but if you get that nucleus, then there's not a lot of need, right? I mean, I'd run.
You can use as much shooting as possible.
But yeah, I'm just saying in terms of like quote unquote big splash, right? You don't have to. There is no, you know, Kendrick Davis is going to score 20 a game. Lester's going to score double figures. DeAndre's going to score double figures. Like, there's not a whole hell of a lot of room for another guy
but
like that.
I will say,
at the risk of like, you know,
it's one thing
team chemistry,
John, when he's saying middle of the season or what, 3/4 of the way through the season, whatever it was, 2/3. Hey, I want to start going older. Right, I need to start hitting the transfer portal more because I need older teams because that's what I'm battling in the AAC. And you wondered, okay, is that just lip service? Is that just him talking,
right,
for the record and what they're going against? Or is that him really saying he's going to change? And I think, John, we've seen in terms of his approach this offseason, that one wasn't just lip service. He's tried to go older here. He's gone more transfer portal. Hey, you let Amar Knox ride, right? I mean, you cut the freshman that the incoming freshman that you had hooked up. And so he's kind of abided by what he said.
Right.
On this one, as opposed to, I'm going to have, you know, less competition, a different 13. I just think it's a kind of player he's looking at where maybe Penny at one point is looking at, listen, I'd like to have all the 4 or 5 stars I can have, 13 of them. I'm gonna do something different in terms of I'm going to go get some role guys. I'm going to go get my starters and have that little. I tend to believe him here. And hope that, again, it's not just lip service, that this is actually going to be a change. Because I would tell you that. Because Penny's been saying it every preseason. I got 10, I got 12, I got 13 starters, guys I think could start on this team.
Yeah.
If it's leading to drama for you in chemistry issues, and I tell you, you know, one of the chemistry issues last year was trying to play Monty Bates at point.
Right.
But if this part of it is leading to drama, then change it up and get some more of those role guys. I'm hoping this is the way he's going, and maybe going and getting guys like Elijah McCadden who have been sixth men. You know, maybe that's he's staying true to form here, true to his words, I'll say.
Right, because like you said, last year you're bringing in, you know, those two dynamic freshmen. Imani was a late ad. Well, they both were late ads, technically.
Late August. Imani was late August.
You add that with, you know, experienced guys like Landers and DeAndre and, you know, and Lester and Tyler and others, right? And so, yeah, you could see where there would be a sort of, especially when Landers was coming back as a first team. Penny even mentioned this preseason in August. He said, guys are coming here to take your, like, he kind of set his own foundation there, right, for all of that to happen, saying that Imani's coming here to take Landers' job.
He did say that.
He did.
Which was, you almost set it up yourself for potential issues.
He did.
There. when you say it publicly.
He kind of
like
spoke that.
That
one into existence. You know, you're not gonna, you don't want to do that. And I think he's learning from. All right, last year, I brought in I opened up a competition.
Don't do that.
When maybe I didn't have to do that, right? Maybe I didn't have to do that. And so now what he's trying to say now is, I don't want to create my own competitions at positions that I've got established already.
How much better is that? Is that team last year, if he doesn't add the final addition that's Amani Bates?
Well, now, from start to finish, how
much better is it with the way things went?
Well,
to his point, I got a five-star
who's
got NBA aspirations, wants to be in the draft in 2 years. I got to play him. Where am I going to? I'm going to plug him into the starting point guard role, which is going to affect everything else. If that decision is not made and
also
he's not
Earl.
There to do that, right? How much different does it look at the beginning of the season?
Well, yeah,
because that was so much of the chemistry issues, and I will say this, he admitted that during the season,
he did,
he played the Amani Bates thing wrong,
but unfortunately,
not that he shouldn't have gone.
Unfortunately, he blamed the upperclassmen as opposed to himself.
Well, that was early, yes, before he admitted the mistake,
right?
You blame DeAndre and those guys.
Yeah, let's see. So early in the year, they took those L's, right? They lost to Iowa State by 19. They lost to Georgia at Georgia. They lost to Ole Miss. Lost to Murray State. I mean, I think you probably go 3-1 there instead of 0-4.
But back to his quote about this. This is what he told Munns over the commercial appeal. I don't think I'll ever want 13 really good players who can start. When I'm applying it to Imani there and that sort of way of thinking, or that quote to did you need Imani Bates? I think it's
right.
Fair that maybe we to expect a little bit of change along those lines. Well, it was almost overkill.
It was a little bit like.
Now, we've all said we would do it. I'm asking the question, though, how much different is it? And has Penny Hardaway decided after that experience, maybe having all the five stars, maybe it ain't worth it, right? Maybe having, chemistry, team, those things more important when it comes to college basketball, this roster. So that would be a good thing for Memphis if it's the case.
Yeah, Monty Bates in that loss to Ole Miss, 1 of 10 from the field in 22 minutes. He got more minutes than all but three players that day.
Well, and it wasn't just the shooting. It's when you plug him in at point guard.
Yep.
Well, then Lester Quinones' game depends on him. Then DeAndre's game depends on him, right?
Yep.
Everybody's game depends on that freshman player who hasn't even grown up playing the position.
Right, and he's just defensively.
He's a scorer.
Defensively, he was a liability, right?
So what I'll say is, as a coach, you got to recognize that, make the adjustment when you do make a mistake. That was clearly a mistake. Penny changed it up. They managed to do it in the nick of time, got the thing back to, nationally being relevant.
Now, look, again,
And being up 10, being up double digits on Gonzaga at the half.
I think Amani Bates, as a sophomore at Memphis, could have had a breakout year, right? But I also understand why both parties made the decision to move on from each other.
Again, you know more.
Right.
So you apply that. You know what Imani's not good at. You know where he needs. And so that was the hope. That was why I thought there was reason for optimism. If you bring Imani back, you know his game and what he needs more than whoever his next college coach is going to be. Whatever.
That's right.
All of that. Where he needs to play and where he doesn't.
Yep.
You've made that progress, right? What? Yeah, I thought that's why it would have worked out. But, again, we like the nucleus. And John, here's one thing about it. You put a Kendrick Davis, right, with Imani. Who, again, Amani needs the ball in his hands, that kind of thing. With Kendrick Davis, everything revolves around him. So it's probably worked out the way it needs to, frankly, with Imani Bates.
All right, we will come back. Like we talked about, Dallas and Golden State is going to a 5-game series. We'll break that down. Boston versus Miami tonight. A little bit of rumors coming out of that one. So we'll get into that and more. On the other side, Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
NBA playoffs heating up. You see it. You can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook. We may have one in the Eastern Conference. They're an official partner of the NBA FanDuel Sportsbook, and throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay. You can do it each week of the playoffs. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel's got so many ways to play. It's what we love. And best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid fast. New to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with the promo code JSmith. You get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that's promo code JSMITH. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. Either way, you'll get up to $20, as we say, and free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs does not win. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issues, non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tonight, we have a 2-2 series that will be unlocked, right? Someone will go up 3-2 in this series tonight, Boston and Miami. The game is in Miami. Miami is a 2-point
favorite at home.
Dog.
Really? Because of the roster and how banged up they are?
I guess so, man. I guess so.
I can't figure this out. We're probably going to have a game 7. But this series has not been close in terms of if you break it down by the game.
Very lopsided, very skewed series. Very, very difficult to handicap, quite frankly, because you don't know who's playing ever. Marcus Smart, game-time decision. Robert Williams, game-time decision.
Yeah, he didn't look good last game. He played well, but he looks hurt.
Right.
Only played 19 minutes.
Kyle Lowry, Max Strus, Tyler Hero, Gabe Vincent, P.J. Tucker, all questionable all day-to-day.
Jeez.
Yikes. Jimmy Butler, we know, of course, has been hobbled.
Well, he's going to come back and score 50.
And then there are rumors of COVID running through the Miami Heat. A broadcaster and a therapist did not travel back with a team because of COVID. Did that spread? Do we have a situation on our hands here? Who knows? Who knows in this damn series? But, yes, Game 5 is tonight. Obviously, catch that right here on 99 FM ESPN. It has been a zigzag series. Boston lost Game 1. Boston won Game 2. Miami won Game 3. Miami lost Game 4. So it has been a very zigzag series. So based on the history of the series, that would suggest to all of us that Miami should win Game 5. But I just don't know. I don't know who I can trust. I don't know who I can trust on this Miami Heat team right now with all the injuries. If all things were equal, I would have no problem backing him. I had no issue with that. Jimmy Butler was one of the best players in the NBA all season long. Heat were one of the most consistent teams in the NBA all season long. But Kyle Lowry just doesn't look like himself with the hamstring.
Mm.
The role players are kind of shrinking from this moment here. And so I just don't know who I can trust, man. I think this was a tough one to call. And I think there's a reason that Boston is a 2-point favorite in Miami.
Maybe they can deploy Udonis Haslam.
He's there. He's waiting for the call.
Let me ask you something. Why?
I don't know, man. I think it's like a Spoelstra thing probably. Like
is that part of Heat culture?
Pat
and
Riley.
So you continue to put him in a uniform and pay him that check?
I think so.
Why not just put him on the staff?
Well, he basically is, right?
That's what.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.